Coming to you from the Alamo Draft House in Kansas City, it's the Tim and Low Show.
Welcome back to the Tim and Low Show. Here we are coming to you from the Alamo Draft House. I am your host, Tim English, and I'm here with my co-host,
Lonita Cook.
Lonita Cook, your friendly neighborhood film critic.
There you go. That's me.
I had to throw your goddamn tagline on there.
I love it.
All right. So, well, we're kind of doing things a little different this weekend. We're going to release this podcast on the weekend. So we've got some film reviews coming up for movies this weekend, including Noah. And Sabotage. Mm-hmm. And we're going to kind of touch on, you know, the big movie from last weekend, Divergent.
Yes.
And you wanted to talk about Enemy?
I want to talk about Jake Gyllenhaal's Enemy.
Oh, God. Are we going to take... Is that all we're going to talk about on Jake Gyllenhaal?
No. I mean, the only thing that I would say about Jake Gyllenhaal is it's a shame that his face looks like that. Because... No, because he's super cute, of course. But it's like a boyishness to his face that he can't escape. And he's wanting to do these more...
I had a problem a little bit with him in Prisoners.
Yeah.
I thought he was really good in it, but I just didn't buy him as that troubled cop.
Because his face looks like that, and it's always the face, because he's just a boy in the face, and it's hard to buy him in these gritty roles, in these emotive, dramatic, you know, conflicted... Yeah, it's hard. So that's the unfortunate part. And in Enemy, he tries to grow like this full-on face mask, you know, and he's all bearded out, and it just, it's, I think it's in the eyes, you know, unfortunately. But we'll talk about Enemy, and if we can talk about the Grand Budapest Hotel as well, that would
be
awesome.
We're going to get you caught up, because we haven't had a show since Comic-Con.
Woo! Comic-Con was awesome.
It was. It went really well for us. And because of the way we're recording this week, we're going to do last week's movies and this week's movies to get you caught up and then have you looking forward to things that are coming out. We're going to touch on, we've got a couple of things we're going to debate about. One, our big debate today is the amazing popularity of these teen post-apocalyptic romance novels that are getting adapted into movies.
Not just the post-apocalyptic ones. We're going to talk about just YA novels.
They've all got into the world. I mean, even
Twilight,
you know, I mean, the world wasn't necessarily at stake, but the worlds of their lives were, you know, I mean, it wasn't post-apocalyptic, sure, but, you know, it's still...
How
about epic? Can I throw the word epic in there? An attempt to be epic?
They
all want to be epic.
That's what I'm saying. They all use the word epic, and it's...
Noah was epic. Oh, my wife saw the commercial last night. She's like, I never really thought Noah was much of an epic story. And I'm like, oh, it's epic.
Well, it is epic. I mean, the entire world gets killed. That's pretty epic.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that more, too, because I was so up and down on that movie that... I can't wait to talk about it, because I was just like, in one sense, I was like, wow, this is really good. And the other sense, I was like, what the fuck are they trying to do with this movie? Are they not taking it serious enough? Are they taking it too serious? I just couldn't tell. And I know me and you laughed out loud a couple of times.
Yeah.
What?
I think I laughed more than I cried. I cried twice. I can count that I cried twice, but I laughed out loud probably 8 times.
And they weren't times that were supposed to be funny.
No. I'm not sure if they even gave us comic relief. Maybe they did once or twice, but I laughed.
No, not really. Yeah. That was one problem with it. So we'll talk about that. And, you know, when we talk about Sabotage, I also want to get into these old action stars. And...
Yes, like
these adrenaline
Schwarzenegger
macho movies that were so great in the 80s.
Like,
I'm just
Stallone.
Not sure if they're translating to today's. There's an audience for them. There's a market for them. But, you know, that's kind of our topic today. Are these films worth it?
Are they worth it? So let's
obviously
get into
Hollywood
it.
Makes too many movies to begin with. Yeah.
I mean, it's they're recycling stars the way that they recycle material.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like Stallone's a big star. Yeah, in 1982. Come on now.
And
or maybe 1987, huh?
And that kind of brings me to my next, speaking of recycling, we're going to get into TV a little bit today.
Nice.
We're going to kind of set up a couple of things that we're going to get into here in the future on the Tim and Low Show. But you and I are going to get into a couple things today, and we're going to set you down a path where we have you watching a couple of shows, so that when I talk about them, you know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yes, and I watched my first episode of Doctor Who.
Excellent!
Yes, I did.
Well, we will talk about that during our TV section.
Nice.
Segment today. So we're going to talk about that, but my segue to that was we can touch a little bit on movies that are making, you know.
Yes,
that's something that I want to start that topic today and continue here in a couple of weeks.
Yes, I see From Dusk Till Dawn.
Crap, and I missed it. Did you watch From Dusk Till Dawn the other night? Did you know that they made it into a TV show?
It's a TV show. It's happening. That shit's real.
And it got renewed, like, based on the first episode.
Oh, really?
It got renewed for a second season. So it's like, I think it's a horrible idea to make it, but I really want to watch
it. Is it still Rodriguez or is Columbia?
Rodriguez.
Okay.
Rodriguez is doing it. I'm pretty sure he directed the first episode. It's doing Seth and Richie Gecko and pretty much that story from the movie. So we'll get into that. And one thing I want to do, and I want to say something now and at the end, is I want to give a big shout out to Elite Comics.
Yes.
They hooked us up with a lot of stuff during Comic-Con, helped us out with some electricity, much needed electricity big show that day. And I don't think during our show that day, I think we were so caught up in everything that I don't think we ever said anything. And I felt horrible. So I want to say now, William at Elite Comics is amazing. He's donated to us for Terror on the Plains, the horror festival I do in October.
I almost said something incredibly wrong, so...
That wouldn't be much of a surprise coming from you at this point. I mean,
it's like, no, don't worry. I gave him a handy.
Oh, there you go. So,
but I did not do
anyway,
that.
So, anyway, him and
I would not do that. I'm just, it's my joke.
We don't need to say it on the air. What happens off the air happens off the air.
That's how
we do business here at the Tim and Low Show. Okay, so, we'll give him a shout out later, but I just wanted to at least make sure I said something because without him, that would have been a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. So. Sitting down with Marlon Wayans.
Marlon Wayans, DMC.
DMC. The legendary DMC. And it's called Daryl Makes Comics.
Yeah, and he's given us a shout-out on Twitter. He gave
DMC,
a shout-out. Yeah.
He did?
He gave a shout-out, the Tim and Low Show's way to go, whatever.
I love him.
And he's following our account, so that's very cool.
And
he's now the most famous person that follows me now. Tawny Catane had been. Do you know who Tawny Catane is?
I don't know.
She's the chick in the Whitesnake video.
Yes.
This all rolled up.
Oh, of course
she's
I know.
She followed me on Twitter for like 2 years, dude. And, you know, when I was younger, obviously, she was like...
Of course.
One of the, you know, definitions of hot chick.
And let me tell you how I know who Tawny Catane is. I mean, of course I know her from the video.
Sure.
But, you know, Adam Sandler is one of my favorites ever. And that's my boy. Because one day in the big debate, we were going to talk about Adam Sandler.
Absolutely, we should.
And he comes to the door, and she opens the door, and he says, "Look at you, looking like Tawny Catane, with your hair blowing in the wind." And when she was dry humping the car in the Whitesnake video, that's about what he says to her. And she's like,
right.
"What? Who are you?" So yeah, love. That's my boy.
So okay, so we'll talk about another thing we're gonna do this after the. After the news, because we're going to talk a little bit about, like I said, Arnold and The Rock, because The Rock's got a new movie coming out.
Yes, he does.
Oh, Hercules. I'm already laughing because I can't wait to watch this again. All right, so we're going to play a new game. It's called Tim and Lenita Watch a Trailer Together.
Yes,
and what you're
going
to get is we're going to sit here. I'm going to turn it on my trusty little laptop here. We're going to watch the trailer. You'll get to hear it. We'll tell you what trailer it is so you can cue it up before, you know, before it plays here. You can watch along with us. You'll hear our snarky comments or good comments, because it's not always going to be a
terrible
bad
trailer.
You know, it might be something cool. It might be, hey, look at, you know, Spider-Man 8. Cool, let's check it out.
Right.
All right, so we'll do that here at the end of our news segment. But first, you wanted to give us an update on your challenge.
Oh, my Healthy Entertainment Challenge. Yes. So if you are just listening, I have been charged with losing a bit of weight. It's something that I want to do for myself for health reasons. And just because I like to, like I said, be more comfortable, be more flexible, and have greater access to my body. And then a friend of mine said that he would sweeten the deal. Hey,
sorry about that.
No problem. A friend of mine said he would sweeten the deal. And if I met my goal by July 4th, that he would... an all-expenses-paid trip to Los Angeles. But the catch is, if I don't meet my goal, we're going to L.A. I just have to pay for the both of us. So
you understand this is win-win for him.
Yes, it's win-win for him.
It's win-win because, A, he can say, yeah, I got this chick to lose some weight and go on vacation with me. Or, I mean, you're still a good-looking girl.
Yes, he's, thank you.
You know, no matter how you feel about the way you look, you know, so he still gets to go with you, except you're going to be paying for it.
Right.
So he's going to L.A. with you no matter what.
So true.
So
I didn't look at it like that, but yes. And he's one of my besties. We've been friends for about 8 years, and we've been through a lot together. And so I would enjoy going to L.A. with him. And
so he's been slowly... laying out this plan.
For 8 years.
Just laying the ground. We'll start off as friends.
Well, and the thing is, we talked about him before, and he likes to write, but he's a blue-collar guy. He works, I don't know if I can say, but he works for Coca-Cola, and he's been working there for...
His name is Bleep.
Yes.
Don't listen to our first episode.
Right.
Because we said his name then.
Because we did. But he likes to write screenplays, and he wants to, his dream is to go to L.A. and see a film at the Chinese Man's Theater.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Which I've done. I saw one of the Harry Potters there. It was pretty cool. But, you know, when you think about... never having been there. He wants to see the Walk of Fame. He wants to, you know, see L.A., you know, and I've been a couple times.
We took our kids to Hollywood Boulevard it was like 2007, so what, 7 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, Owen was like one. I mean, he was really, really little. He was a baby still. Nick was, what, 7 years old. Zoe was pretty little. She's 11 now, so she was like four. Okay, so, and Nick got his first, you know, first taste of kind of being suckered by one of the, because they have all the little performance people out there in their costumes.
Yes.
Okay, we're at one, you know, they've got all the guys out there with balloon animals and stuff like this. And, you know, I'm looking at the store and I turn around and it goes, hey, this guy just gave this to me. And it's this really badass Spider-Man. I mean, he had made this cool, I mean, it was masterful work.
Nice.
You know, as far as balloon things go. And I was like, oh, Nick. He's like, it's free. And I turn around, this guy's just looking at me. Nick's back to him. He's just like,
right.
And I'm just like, motherfucker.
What the
hell?
You
know, over.
You should have punched him in the face. I don't get at my pocketbook through my kids. I will meet you in the balls.
I threw him a few bucks. And I walked up. I was like, no, Nick, we don't take anything. And so it really became something when we went to Vegas with him last summer. I was like, hey, remember when we were on Hollywood Boulevard and I said, don't take anything from anybody? I was like, especially on the strip here. Do not take no. I was like, if you hear that, you've been to Vegas, yeah.
I have been through Vegas.
They hand the little, you know what I'm talking about?
I feel like stop in Vegas, I'm going to like just end up
they hand
a
out those little.
You know?
They hand out those little cards for prostitution.
Right.
They just sit there and they, you know,
yeah.
Like, and then they just, I mean, they just hand them to anybody walking through.
Wow.
I'm like, don't touch anything. So, yeah, and he was so embarrassed.
It's
he was like,
dirty.
Oh. He felt like he just was, like, betrayed by the world. And I was like, it's like everybody gets suckered every now and then. It's all right.
Yeah.
I was like, you got a cool Spider-Man balloon. And I mean, the guy wanted, like, $10 for it. I gave him, like, two. It's like, this is all you're getting, bro.
Yeah, because you weaseled your way through my kid.
That's right. So, all right. So... we're going to kind of get into the news here real quick, shall we?
Yeah, let's talk about...
Were you done with your update?
Yeah, Healthy Entertainment.
Are you going to...
go through with it? I mean, we've already...
What steps are you taking? yeah.
Well, I've been so exhausted. I mean, my sleep schedule is way off. I've worked out a few times, but I'll be honest, it's been like 10 minutes a day on the treadmill, which is nothing since I had like a chocolate shake and, you know, so I'm going to have to update my diet a little more. Cause I've been adding more salad, more green leafy vegetables. And
yeah, my wife's trying to get me to.
Yeah, got to do it. You got to do it.
You got to watch your calories. Because I'm like, I don't give a fuck about calories. I'm like, look at me, dude. She's like, I know, you look good, but you got to just a little bit. I mean, I do. I really do. I mean, you know, I eat way healthier now than I did.
Yeah, and that's the thing about slim people is a lot of times you think just because they're slim that they're healthy. And a lot of times they take their slimness for granted.
Right.
And they're like, I can eat anything I want. Well, the issue is not just are you gaining weight, but is your heart going to continue to work well into your 60s? You know?
That's true. So, all right. So,
absolutely.
All right, well, good luck to you on that.
Thank you. I'm working on it.
I hope you get to go on a free vacation rather than have to.
That's right.
So, all right. So, let's see. Number one at the box office last weekend was Divergent.
Woo, Divergent. So, we both saw Divergent.
We both saw it. And
do you think it deserves to be number one?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think it is what it is. It was going to get its big weekend.
Yeah.
Based on the fan base of the books. And it got, you know, it got what it wanted, $54 million. Muppets was number two at 17. Peabody, three at 11 million. God's Not Dead. That was fourth.
What?
I mean, okay, so more people saw God's Not Dead than 300 or Need for Speed or Grand Budapest Hotel.
Well, I mean, one, the Grand Budapest Hotel is kind of obscure, and a lot of people are kind of iffy on Wes Anderson right now.
No, those aren't big money makers of the box office.
But God's Not Dead. What is that about?
Let's find out.
Let's find out, because I may have heard God's Not Dead maybe one other time, but I don't even think that we were offered a screening for that.
No.
I don't think so. And was that one of the films that Jason was talking about when he visited us at Comic-Con? You know, because I know he was telling us about Mom's Night Out and some other movie with a kid who died and went to heaven and then came back. Is it that movie?
Well, I'm looking at Box Office Mojo, and our internet's moving a little slow here.
Well, if it's affirming, if it's God affirming, then I can see why a lot of people would want to go see that. I mean,
it has an exclamation point in the title. That's why you should see it, because it's got a 4.5 rating on IMDb, by the way. Documentary that cuts across the realms of music, politics, and intercultural dialogue.
Oh.
That sounds vague.
Yeah.
But fourth at the box office.
Fourth at the box office it is.
So cool in the gang, man. All right. So, all right. See what else we got. Actor James Rebhorn died last week.
That is terrible.
Yeah. He was a good character actor. He was in Independence Day.
Had a great nose.
He's on Homeland, Meet the Parents. You know, Jesus Christ, Fokker.
He sure was.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, of course.
So he died of melanoma.
And he was, what, 65?
Yeah.
He died on March 21st, and, you know, our condolences at the Tim and Lowe Show go out to his family.
Yeah, I always liked him. So,
because he's one of my favorite actors. But he had the kind of face that could go a lot of way. Well, you said he's a great character actor, but, you know, he played, like, the sniveling, weaselly, you know, character really well.
Yeah.
You know, and you loved to hate his characters a lot of the time, so.
And I remember him, like, from The Game. Did you ever see The Game? David Fincher's early movies had Michael Douglas and Sean Penn, where the guy is suicidal, you know, and it's, like, the anniversary of his father, like, committing suicide.
What? I have not seen that movie.
I
feel like it would have stayed with me if I'd seen something like that.
It was, like his second movie, Fincher. I think
like
it was
back in, 1980?
No. This has been mid-90s.
Mid-90s, really?
Right after 7.
Huh.
Yeah. I can't even... Have you seen the game, Josh? Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm not even going to say anything else about it, because it's one of those movies where the less you know about it, the better it is.
Hmm.
Because it has so many great twists and turns.
Sure.
And it's completely unpredictable and has... I mean, the ending, which is... You know, now every movie tries to have, like, the big ending.
Right, of course.
At the time...
That was not...
Just dropped me.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it's
check
about
it
the story.
Absolutely. Watch that.
I will. The game.
Okay. So
write that down.
All right. Now, Arnold Schwarzenegger is in a movie this week, Sabotage, which I'll talk about in a minute because you didn't see that.
I did not.
All right, so...
I saved myself.
Oh, my God, you did. And so, but he's also gearing up for the Terminator...
Reboot, right.
Reboot, sequel, remake. I'm not really sure what this is going to be, but he's playing a Terminator again.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of released a statement the other day talking about the, you know, not so much about the plot, but just, you know, there's going to be more than one Terminator, and he's playing one of them. But kind of arguing, you know, obviously the thing is, at his age, and he's looking his age, as he does in...
Sabotage. Yes.
I mean, he looks like a catcher's mitt that's being used as an ashtray, but...
Whoa.
His face, maybe it was part of the makeup they did for the, maybe he was supposed to look old, but he's looking his age in that movie. I mean, but you know, the question is he too old for these movies? Is he too old to play the Terminator?
Oh.
The Terminator.
Was that?
You know, the movie that he was, that, you know, when he made the first one, he was nobody, right? So, I mean,
he was somebody.
I mean, he was a bodybuilder.
Yeah, well,
but
he was
not
famous
an actor.
For that.
I mean, he wasn't famous for being an actor. This was like his big break. Not Hercules Goes Bananas.
Hercules Goes Bananas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll have to IMDb that one.
I'm going to have to.
Hercules Goes Bananas. Early Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah,
Hercules
you'll thank me for it.
Because I thought that's the name of the new rock, Hercules.
Oh, I think it
based
should
on
be
the
Hercules
trailer.
Goes Bananas. I about went bananas. So what do you think? These guys, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Stallone.
Still trying to make these movies.
And I'm
trying to reboot their own careers. Obviously, Schwarzenegger sat out and was governor of California for a while.
Yes, he did that. Which was
an
pretty interesting
job.
Yeah. An interesting move to make in his career. And it's like, okay. But being married to a Kennedy, why not? I think it depends, because I don't believe in putting people out to pasture as they age. I don't believe in that. I think that there's wisdom, there's experience that comes with age that is very valuable and very useful.
Yes.
And they are writing great material for people of a certain age. But I think that you're probably not going to want to be cast as a machine that comes back from the future to annihilate the entire world. That's just not all that believable when you're 85.
No, this is an interview he did with MTV, okay, the other day. He is talking about how to justify his character looking 30 years older than he did in 1984 when the movie was, when he's supposed to be playing the same.
Before he even says anything, I want to say there's no justification.
I know.
Okay.
And I wish I could say this in an Arnold voice. I'm not going to try, but I think it would be much better.
I think it would be
the only way to really get
we
the full
the
impact
pop.
Of the quote, you know. And unfortunately, they don't have a video clip. It's just a written clip. So the way the character's written, it's a machine underneath. It's this metal skeleton, but above that is human flesh, and the Terminator's flesh ages just like any other human being's flesh. Maybe not as fast, but it definitely ages.
Well, then that's, like, all kind of wrong, because your flesh aged, like, triple time.
And there's just so many problems I have with that, especially if we're talking about time travel movies and things like that. It's just like, I know, but that still doesn't make sense of why it's aging. Why they send back and...
Whatever happened to the actor who played Reese in the original one?
Michael Biehn? He's still around.
Doing what?
Movies.
He's doing movies?
Yeah.
He was so cute.
Was he in that movie I watched the other night?
Oh, my goodness. I loved the original. Who didn't love the original Terminator? you know. Oh,
he was definitely one of the coolest dudes back then.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Reese was a cool character.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie to you. I stuck around for the Terminator that melted, was like a melted bullet.
Yeah. The liquid metal.
Yeah, the liquid metal. I liked that one, the kid from Pet Sematary. Yeah, I was on it. And then even the next one where they had to lock themselves up, barricade themselves in the bunker. And I think Claire Danes may have been in it.
Yeah, I didn't. That one I thought had some merits.
Yeah.
I thought the end of that movie was fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, the locking them in the mountain and destroying the world, it was surprising. You know?
Yeah, it was surprising. And I stuck around and I enjoyed
Salvation
it.
Salvation was just a complete misstep.
Was that the TV show?
No, that was the movie.
Oh.
The TV show, did you watch Sarah Connor Chronicles? It had
Josh doesn't watch anything.
Josh
just
is like, what the hell are you guys talking about all the time?
Hey, Josh Wise, how you doing today, hon?
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
Tired.
Josh Wise is our sound engineer. He's with us every podcast, making us sound better than we really do. Well, making Tim sound better.
That's right.
I sound good. Just kidding.
That's how we're going to play this today, I see. All right. All right, so now,
you sound great, Tim.
All right. Now, we go from Arnold Schwarzenegger to kind of the guy that's always kind of been the next Schwarzenegger. That's The Rock. Okay. Now, let's have some fun.
Let's do it.
All right, let me make sure I've got this queued up. We're going to sit here. The Rock is in a new movie. He's playing Hercules. And today, we are going to watch this trailer live. Well, we're recording. It's live right now.
It's live right now.
Let's let the ad play.
There was Keanu Reeves.
Oh,
that
yeah,
is our Keanu Reeves reference.
Keanu Reeves reference. A 47
Ronin. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, my gosh.
Did you see that movie?
I didn't. They didn't screen it for us. And
right.
I didn't go out after to see it. I didn't hear great things about it.
No, it looked horrible.
It looked good. I'm a Keanu Reeves fan.
I know, sometimes you just say you have to judge the material and not your love for the actor.
I can't think of anything that
I love
that
Bruce Willis, but damn, he's made some bad movies.
I can't think of anything that Keanu Reeves has been in that was bad.
Okay, we're going to look at his someday. Big debate, Keanu Reeves. Okay. All right, Josh, are we ready to roll on this? We're gonna
watch the Hercules.
I'm gonna queue up the Hercules.
And it's called Hercules Thrasen?
Shit, I don't know. All right.
MGM, Metro Golden Meyer.
So.
No matter how far you go, man cannot escape his fate.
First of all, I'm not sure what the point of doing this is. And we're getting a slow connection here. So here
which is okay, because first the voice starts out kind of like.
Are you a murderer?
With an accent, and it's low and deep.
It could be the Scorpion King.
A three-headed
bulldog. I mean, he already did the Scorpion King, and that's pretty much the same thing.
Now,
remember the deeds you have performed.
That line's badass.
This is the worst part, right here.
Yeah, because he's going to survive that.
That
oh, and he wears
was
his
the
head.
Part.
He's wearing a lion head.
That's it. I just realized this movie's going to suck.
I mean, this beard right there looks like it was made for TV.
Tell me, who are you?
Here it is. I mean, that's like the movie he does. Oh, yeah, and I'm so, see, yeah,
it's,
you have to watch this because right there at the end, the look on his face, it just really makes you think, what do they have on him? They're like, motherfucker, you're making this movie.
Right.
And he's like, no, I'm The Rock, I'm in the Fast and the Furious movies, I can do anything I want.
I'm The Rock, I'm in the Tooth Fairy.
I'm not Hercules.
And then,
you know, and that kind of, you know, leads to my next question is, Are these, you know, do these guys get played out in these movies when they're playing these same, the roles they're expected to play? So who are we going to get for Hercules? Let's get The Rock, because he's the biggest, baddest dude in Hollywood right now. But is it really the right, is it?
He's not the right person, and anybody along those lines would not be the right person, because he's not mythical. Am I saying that right? He doesn't carry with him a sense of magic, a sense of, you know, because these myths were a way for people.
So does it get lost because he's too recognizable?
There's a little bit of that.
Does he become, you know, like a Tom Cruise, like an actor like that, where it's like you always know you're watching Tom Cruise, George Clooney, where it's like he can be good, but you always know you're watching George Clooney. I mean, The Rock, does he really disappear into roles? Or is he just The Rock playing different versions of his personality?
Yeah, and that's
I love
what
him.
I think.
I think he's great at movies. I think he has great charisma on screen.
I prefer The Rock, honestly, in movies like The Tooth Fairy. And what was the movie he did?
There's Game Plan, which is the one with the little girl. And the
Yeah, where he finds out he's a father, and he's this. I loved him in that movie.
Yeah.
I loved him on, what, Hannah Montana? I prefer him like that because it is against type.
Sure.
You know, the Scorpion King was
horrible.
Terrible.
Yeah. But you know, that's a movie he does. I mean, that was like his first.
It was his
movie that he was starring in by himself. He was in The Mummy 2 or whatever, and then they spun off from that with the Scorpion King. So that was like his first. You know, and at that time, that's what I'm saying. At that time, yeah, you do a movie like that.
Sure.
But
now,
A, does this movie need to be made? B, does it need to have The Rock in it? Is he too recognizable for something like this? Can the audience really, like you said, since these movies are supposed to have that magical, mythical appeal to it, did he just disappear, or did that just seem like The Rock playing dress-up?
Yeah, I mean,
at a kid's birthday party or something.
It, for me, it was creepy. It was, like, so laughable it was creepy. Because when you watch, listeners, when you watch this trailer, there's a moment where the lion is, you know, charging at him, and it jumps at him, and it's in slow motion, and then it cuts to the first time we see Hercules' face, and he's got the lion on his head.
He's wearing the lion's head.
He's wearing the lion's head, yeah, as a hat.
Lion, and which offends me as a Leo, first of all.
As a Leo. And it offends me as a person who likes to wear little hats with ears on them.
You wear animal hats?
I do wear animal hats.
Oh, yeah, your kitty hat.
And it's just like his face is not aging appropriately for a movie like this.
Noted.
Noted.
All right. So, we're not sure about... Oh, and he also... One last thing about The Rock is he's allegedly in talks to join the DC universe.
As what?
I don't know. There's a lot of characters from being a new Green Lantern.
What?
Yeah. Which Ryan Reynolds is out no matter what direction they go.
But, why?
Well, in the comics, Green Lantern kind of got the ring gets passed along.
From, sure,
but I think it was a disappointing movie, and they would want to separate the new direction of the DC universe.
And a lot of black people were kind of offended because they were saying that the Green Lantern was black.
He is. There is John Stewart. Yeah, I think that's where they go. And I'll, you know, the best guy to always say is getting a guy like Idris Elba. Would be cool, but he's in the Marvel universe.
He is. He plays.
Chiwetel would be great. You don't like him? You don't like Chiwetel Ejiofor?
I do not.
Oh, well.
I do not like his voice, nor his face.
Really?
Nor his gaze. Unfortunately, I don't like...
You're like, this is some bullshit if I have to talk about this one more second. All right.
And
well, anyway, so The Rock's going to be...
I mean, he stood out for me in, what is that movie, Love Actually? Is that the name of the movie, Love Actually?
Actually, I haven't seen it, but there is a movie called Love Actually.
And it's the Christmas movie, and it's got all these, like, little love...
Yeah, Hugh Grant.
Yeah, with Hugh Grant. And I love that movie, and he stood out as my least favorite part of that movie, unfortunately.
He played Peter in that movie. All right, well, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I liked him in
12 Years.
Serenity.
Oh.
No, I mean... 12 Years a Slave, yeah, he was good, but
meh.
I'd more look at a movie like Serenity is the one. Sure. Where, you know, he was really good in that.
It's been a long time Whedon. Since I've seen Serenity.
That's Whedon. So, all right.
And, yeah, Joss Whedon. I love you.
Okay, so movie reviews. Briefly, let's catch up on what we didn't review from last week. Divergent. No, we'll talk about Divergent here in a minute when we go into our young adult
let's do that.
Adapting discussion.
That's fine.
So you tell me about Enemy, because I didn't see Enemy.
Okay, so Enemy is Jake Gyllenhaal. It's based on a movie called The Double, I believe. And it's, I don't have much to say about it, because at the end, there were maybe, I don't know, maybe four or five critics in the theater. And when we left, we were all like, what the fuck was that? And so there was this, what's his name? Oh, is it Trey, the one who's
Trey Hawk,
the film professor?
Sure.
From
Kansas City Art Institute, yeah.
And he was in it, and even he, who is incredibly intellectual about film,
yeah, he's great. Absolutely, he's,
yes. He was, you know, giving his perspective, and it was kind of like, I don't know if that's what it means, you know. And he was like, yeah, I don't know if that's what it means. It's directed by Denis.
Is it Villanueva? I think
Villanueva.
Yeah. He did Prisoners.
Oh, he did do Prisoners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I guess it's adapted by Javier Guillon. And it's a novel by Jose Saramago.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not read the book, but I believe that it would be beneficial to anybody who wants to see this film to read the book. And so,
I'm taking pictures. I'm distracting here while she's talking. I'm sorry.
Well, and so stylistically, it's surreal. Tonally, like the visual tone, it tries to be a little sexy, but it doesn't quite get there. There's a little bit of some creepy Eyes Wide Shut kind of stuff going on. And
what do you mean, like orgies and shit?
Yeah. And it kind of makes you uncomfortable, but then there are insects.
Oh.
And there's a recurring spider motif happening. And so you have this guy who's a professor, and he discovers somebody at work says something to him about a movie he's in, and he's like, what movie? And so he goes and gets this movie, and he discovers that there's a man in a movie that looks identical to him. And so he tracks this person down, and they eventually switch lives. But it's not fun at all, like, say, you know, Vice Versa, you know. it was confusing and long. Now you do get to see Jake Gyllenhaal in bed, so that's...
It's 11 o'clock.
Is it now?
My computer talks.
It's 11 o'clock.
Yep.
So
sorry, I'm being very distracting, aren't I?
But I'm talking about a movie that I don't have much to say about, because it was so... I think reading the book is the best way to go.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. But I wouldn't say it was a bad movie. It wasn't bad. It was well acted.
Yeah.
It was shot very well. There's this really great shot of the city.
Is it as bleak as Prisoners was?
It was surrealism. I mean, on screen, really. It wasn't dark. It was surreal, you know. And there's a shot of the city, and I think they're in Spain. And a huge tarantula comes crawling over the city. It was so beautiful and scary at the same time, but it was a really great shot. And so there's just some cool stuff happening there that I think it's worth the view. But wait till it comes on Netflix.
As they would say on Kansas City Live, see it or skip it.
I would say see it, but wait till it comes on Netflix.
Netflix. So you're saying watch it with your free account. Don't go see it. Don't rent it.
Right.
Do you rent movies at the video store anymore?
Are there video stores anymore?
Yeah, I think there's a Family Video somewhere.
Yeah, you got your mom and pop shops, but no more Blockbuster. Yeah. I mean, you got your Redbox.
I used to work for Blockbuster.
You did?
I worked at the one on Westport.
That's why you've seen so many movies.
Oh, yeah. I got like 10 free rentals a week or something.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was a pretty good, that was a good gig. So, all right, so that was last weekend. Mm. And like I said, we'll go into Divergent here in just a few minutes.
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Rob, you want to touch? Go. Yeah, I missed that one too. So why don't you hit us up with that? The new one from Wes Anderson.
That's right. And, you know, apparently people have broken up with Wes Anderson. Like, he no longer has their confidence.
Well, I think he has a certain style that it either appeals to people or it doesn't. But also, you're right. Sometimes within his movies, it's like, you know, you can be like, I like that Wes Anderson, but not this Wes Anderson. And you and I, you know, I don't know what your preferences are, but they may, you know, differ. Did you like Moonrise Kingdom?
I didn't see that one. I saw the Royal Tenenbaums.
Like it?
It was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool.
I like it. You know, it's, yeah, some people those movies really hit home with, and some people they're just, I mean, it,
for me, like I mean, maybe because I'm a girl, I'm not sure, but it really depends on how old I was when I saw the movie, because at one point in my life, I watched Michael Jackson videos the majority of the time, and I watched movies like Fast Forward and Dirty Dancing, you know, so I
could. What the hell was Fast Forward?
We're moving fast. Forward, where we stop, nobody knows. Okay.
You know what I liked? my cheesy movies like that from the 80s were the Breakin' movies.
Yeah.
Breakin' to Electric Boogaloo, where they try to save that community center.
Beat Street. The king of the beat.
You know what? If you give me, I almost would have been able to say, yeah, hell yeah, dude, Beat Street. And
yeah.
Those old dancing movies, which is why every now and then, have to watch.
Okay, you've got to watch Fast Forward then, because it's about.
I probably have seen it.
Yeah, a group. Okay, it's about a group of teenagers who run away from home. They're from like Ohio or something like that, and they run away to New York to be in this dance competition. Well, they're all classically trained ballet dancers.
Young people from Ohio dancers.
They
come to
actually
New York
are from Ohio.
In a major talent competition, but when they get there, they learn that they have to wait.
Yeah, because they're all classically trained ballet dancers, and the New York scene is all about breakdancing, and so they have to go to these kind of scary clubs to.
It has learn a jaw-dropping cast. I mean, everyone from John Scott Clough, Don Franklin, Tamara Mark, Tracy Silver.
Do you know those people?
How do they get these people in the same movie together? It's amazing. I'm done. Keep going.
All right. So, so if I saw Royal Tenenbaums at a certain point in my life, if I watched it now, I could probably appreciate it much better than I did watching it then. But back to the Grand Budapest Hotel, I'll be brief in saying this movie fucking rocks. It's amazing.
That's not going to get bleeped.
It better get bleeped. Josh, do your job.
Josh is like, bleep you.
Bleep you. Oops, I toot it. I didn't mean to do that. Because I'm laughing. Okay, so we're going to talk about why I'm acting kind of weird today.
Oh.
Yes.
Is it because you're drunk?
I am a little drunk.
Sweet.
And let me tell you why I'm a little drunk. So I stayed the night at my mother's house, and there were no extra covers for us, me and my girls. And so we laid on the couch all together, kind of on top of each other to keep each other warm. So when I got to my house this morning to get them off to school, I was still really sleepy, but my body wouldn't go back to sleep. And this is about 5:30 in the morning, so I could have, you know, taken a nap, quick nap, and then made it here. But my body wouldn't go back to sleep. So I said, all right, I've got some champagne in the refrigerator. So I'm going to have a couple mimosas, and that will you know, put me to sleep, and then I can rest a little and then come do the show. And these, I mean, the little teacups, I'm telling you, little teacups, not even like big champagne glasses or anything. And I made 2 mimosas and I drank them, and I felt, I mean, I'm a lightweight, so I was like, I'm a little drunk, you know.
That's awesome. You know, when I was little, my mom used to give me and my sister like shots of peppermint schnapps on Christmas Eve to help us go to sleep.
See, that's pretty awesome because you're so hyped
Parenting.
Up. I mean, I was excited to be here this morning, and so my body was excited, and I couldn't sleep. And so, yeah, I was like, and I don't take sleep aids, you know, no Z-Quil, no Ambien, none of that stuff. And so I was like, you know, some alcohol. I have some in the fridge. You know, it's just champagne. And so when I came in, I was a little tipsy. But the thing that I was going to say about the Grand Budapest Hotel is that it is very...
Does being drunk help?
You know, if you were drunk,
you went
from
Grand Budapest. Oh, by the way, I'm a little tipsy. Let's get back to that now. Like you were setting something up. Oh, hold on. Before I continue... I'm half drunk right now. No, I'm just
half drunk. Not
just,
all the
just
way.
A little. No, go for it.
So would you agree, Josh, that it helps to be a theater lover and watching this movie? Because I felt it's very theatrical in nature. A lot of the action happens through the dialogue, and there are lots of sets. But they don't look like sets, but they're treated like sets. And it's framed as if they're on a proscenium stage, you know. And so, but it's got a great cast of characters. Even Harvey Keitel. I was like, oh, Harvey Keitel! When I saw, yeah. So just.
He's bald.
He is bald. And we see his boobs.
Awesome. We've seen about everything on Harvey Keitel. Between that and the piano and what was the one? Bad Lieutenant?
Yeah. Harvey Keitel
is
not...
He likes to show off his shit.
Yeah, he's not ashamed of putting it out there. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would recommend people see the Grand Budapest Hotel, whether you like Wes Anderson or not.
I think you're right. I think even if you don't, I think it's good to see movies like that just to take a break from... Because, you know, a lot of movies, filmmaking styles are copied so much, and, you know, and there's always what's in trend. And he always seems to be a filmmaker that kind of goes against...
Yes.
First of all, himself and what's expected of his movies, but also kind of, you know, what everybody else is doing. Because I think he likes to work with these actors and say, what do you feel like doing?
Yeah.
Something different, you know. And I think that's why they like work with him, because those actors can go in there and do something that they're not getting to do.
Ray Fiennes is brilliant. What would you say, Josh? You would agree that he's pretty amazing as M. Gustav. And I like the kid who plays Zero, the lobby boy. It's just a really great movie, and the characters, and it's witty and visually funny, and just see this film. It's got murder. It's got mystery.
Like
it's got high-speed chases. It's got so much.
And
stuff.
Chases. High speed can be dangerous. I do like chases though.
Yeah. Like chasing the girl?
Nothing. I'm just messing with you because I know you're a little off.
I am a little
off. So I'm trying to... You have to turn on your sarcasm detector because I'm laying it on thick.
That's
cool. All right. So let's see. What's coming out this week? Let's talk about this week's movies. I saw Sabotage, speaking of Arnold Schwarzenegger, in a movie where he is leading a team of DEA, like covert agents. They go on drug raids, stuff like this. Now... This movie starts off with his wife has been kidnapped by a Mexican drug cartel.
What?
And she's been tortured and killed. And you kind of know that going in, you know, in the first few minutes of the movie. And it cuts to, you know, and obviously he's seen the footage and whatever. And his team's going in. They raid this place and they find this money and they steal some of the money. They steal $10 million. and then kind of blow the rest of it and, you know, think they've gotten away with it. But they go to find, you know, where they were supposed to put it, you know, a little stash place, and it's gone. So, you know, it turns into a, you know, who took our money that we just took kind of a deal. They get investigated, stuff like that.
We just put it here. Where'd it go?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like, you know, they stash it and it's gone. So, you know, and the rest of the movie is, you know, that each, the members of the team start getting killed. You know, they're like, ooh, this is about the money, isn't it? No fucking shit.
All right.
And it's just, there's a lot of stupidity at work. It's a horrible screenplay. The actors are all, like, literally the same character. Like, they all talk the same. All the dialogue could be interchangeable from the men to the women.
Wow.
The women all act and talk like men.
You know, that
was
one thing.
It's all just very, like, steroid action junkie. I mean, the characters just yell lines, and it's like, why the fuck are they yelling right now?
Well, that was the thing that I didn't like about the last Riddick movie. So the females were doodly in the language.
And you know what? You can have feminine, real female characters that are still tough and badass.
Yeah.
And don't take shit from men. But that's what this was. There's this one character, and I can't even think of her. Let me pull up her name. She played Brad Pitt's wife in World War Z.
Oh, yes.
I thought she was really good in that. Muriel Enos?
Uh-huh.
Holy crap, I wanted to go on screen and choke her out, dude.
You did?
She was so over the top in this movie.
And like, just with both hands or just one hand?
Just grab her, just shake her, the shit out of her, you know?
Because we do not advocate violence against women.
Just the character, not necessarily her as an actress. I mean, just her character was so over the top. Half the time I didn't know if her character was supposed to be on drugs or if she was drunk, because she would just kind of through these scenes, and I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And then the end of the movie,
or it has just
the twists start coming. Well, she's playing an American. I mean, you know. The twists come at the end, because your thing is, some of these characters, like Terrence Howard's in it. Complete waste of Terrence Howard.
Oh.
You know?
He's amazing.
At one point, my son leans over to me and goes, is Terrence Howard even in this movie? And Terrence Howard does figure into the end of the movie. So it's like, oh, that's why he's in there. But it's so just thrown in there that it's like, really?
But the cutie, Joe.
Joe Mangelina. Yeah, he's got cornrows.
He's got cornrows.
He's another character that, you know, yells in characters' faces. And it's all supposed to come off as they're all just such badasses.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, dude, can you just back away from the camera.
Is he acting like he's from the hood? What's happening there?
Just a tough soldier.
Soldiers?
They're all, you know, military trained DEA. I mean, the guys that go in and raid places.
I would have preferred to see Schwarzenegger.
But I also don't understand the thing in movies now where all these guys, these SWAT team and guys that go into these places, they're all wearing, like, sleeveless shirts. Like, Joe Mangelino, he wears, like, just, like, his vest.
Right.
And he's got his guns popped out. And same with Arnold.
But do we see his muscles?
Arnold, he's got like a really short t-shirt, so you see his. And it's just like, okay, so.
Is he tatted up?
They're not going to shoot you right here. What if they shoot you?
Right.
It's just one of those things aesthetically where you're watching it and thinking, okay, I get that they all kind of look tough and badass. But it's not. It doesn't seem tactical and realistic.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I don't know. But it's a horrible movie. I hated it so much.
Okay.
One of the worst of the year.
Okay. One of the worst of the year.
I'm not even joking.
Not like all the way up to March.
And I was really sad
because
you know there was people coming out giving their because when they kind of hit up just regular citizens.
Right. At the end.
Let me talk like a snobby film critic here. Those regular people.
Right.
You know, just, the average, people that got into the screening, and they're all like, oh, great movie. And I'm like, did they come out of something else? Because that guy did not come out of that theater. He did.
He did. Okay. Aww. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Do they make movies for the film critics? Or do they make movies for
No, I absolutely
consumer?
Do not think that anybody should make a movie for a film critic. As a film critic, no, dude, absolutely not. Shoot for a fan base.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you have to make horrible, one-dimensional characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other thing with this movie is every time somebody dies, it's like a bloody gory. Like somebody gets shot and there's like explosions of blood.
Explosions
not like in a Tarantino movie where somebody gets their head lopped off and it just kind of squirts up in a cartoony kind of, you know, and it's all just red as shit, so it's not even real looking.
Right, like in 300. Right.
300, yeah, dude. And what is it? Inglourious Bastards. All those, what's the one he just did? The Django Unchained, dude, where that guy's laying in the middle of that floor during that shootout and he keeps getting hit. And there's just, and it's part of the joke of the scene. This was like, you know, I don't know, all these just horribly gory deaths. I mean, at one point it seemed like a horror movie almost.
Huh.
You know, there was like Jason Voorhees was like killing all these people because they stole I don't know.
There was a virgin running through the forest at one point, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, so let's transition though now from Sabotage to the epic adventure of Noah and his ark. Yeah. So we saw.
Here's
that.
The first thing that I will say about Noah. We did see this both yesterday. And the first thing that I said to the screening rep was, I think people are going to be very shocked to learn that Noah did not build the ark.
Rock monsters did.
But a pack of Transformers did.
Transformers. They did look like Transformers. But they were rock monsters, dude.
They weren't rock monsters.
I don't remember that part from the Bible.
Yeah, I don't remember the rock monsters from the Bible. I said, what
so
is happening?
The thing with Noah here is, it is the story, obviously, of Noah and his ark from the Bible, but yet they take a non-religious, yet spiritual still, kind of take on it. To where it's not necessarily the story you
remember.
I would
say it's part Bible, part myth.
Well, that's what I'm saying. God is never mentioned. Christianity nor any other specific, he's the creator.
Well, and a lot of
so it's still that story. It's just they don't target it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there are a lot of words for God, and I know that...
But they never use God, and I think it was intentional.
Yeah, they never use the word God, but I know from
just any civilizations
that,
and religions,
well,
it's very vague.
My point that I'm making here is that... specifically that I've experienced that in the Jewish community when talking about creationism and the story of creation, they use the word creator.
Sure.
In my experience, that's been, and they have not used the Jewish studies that I've done, the formal Jewish studies that I've done, they use the word creator and not the word God.
Well, yeah, but I think it's an intentional act on the filmmakers here to not say God, to not make, because there was a huge thing with Christian groups, all kinds of religious groups were like, whoa, dude, you can't put this movie out and say it's based on the Bible. So there was a lot of effort to, but it's still the story. I mean, it's still the Garden of Eden,
it's
Cain and Abel. I mean, it still touches on all these stories. I mean, that's all I'm saying is it just, it's... It keeps the faith involved without religious targeting. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
but anyway.
I mean, I still think that it walks a fine line. I think that it has a huge potential to be offensive.
Right, because of like the rock monsters.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's you know, that I guess what kind of want to say is you have to be able to separate this. Don't go in there and think that you're going to get an exact word for word retelling of the story that you heard in the Bible that you read. It's not that. It is. He has dreams.
Yes.
From, you know, that he's speaking with the creator, and you know, it's more he's getting, you know, warnings of a flood, and he kind of puts it all together himself. Decides to build an ark. There's the king that's left from Cain's descendants, because it wasn't Cain, was it? The king?
Yeah, it was.
Was it Cain?
Cain, yeah, he killed Abel, and so the rest of the civilization that was
and
left
he,
over was
you know, kind of has figured out that something's getting ready to happen. This guy's doing something. You know, all these animals are freaking out, so it's got to all be leading up to something. And he wants in, he wants his people, but, you know, Noah's basically like, you know what? Humanity's been judged, they're being wiped out, and it's everybody. You know, I can't take anybody. And that gets into a lot of the, you know, his sons want, you know, wives and You know, they've got Hermione, and she's supposed to be there.
I mean, it kind of goes into the story of Shim and Ham,
yes.
Which, you know, I was kind of watching it, like, what are they going to do there? But they completely left the race thing alone, of course.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the curse of Ham is what people use to justify slavery, and a lot of people believe that blackness comes from Ham being cursed. So when they find Noah naked and drunk, Ham does something that he's not supposed to, and God curses him with a mark. And a lot of people believe that mark is blackness. And so I was watching this movie like, what the fuck are you gonna say?
Yeah.
I mean, because we all know that Shem, that is supposed to be the father of Jews and their ethnic and religious cousins, the Muslims, which is where we get the word anti-Semitic. But they alluded to all that good stuff with...
It's absolutely... If you know the story,
yeah.
You know everything's there. It walks a line of keeping it like a mythical story and
right.
A story that you know.
Right. But, right.
No, I did like some aspects of it. I thought some of it was really good.
I liked when he sat down and he told them the story of the first days.
Like at the end there when he...
Right, and they show it, and it's very spiritual and scientific. I liked that. Yeah, it reminded me.
I did notice how they did kind of walk a line between, like, creationism and
science,
like evolution. So, I don't think there's enough in this movie. You're right. Somebody's going to be offended because people get uptight about every little thing if it's not done.
I mean,
there are some laughable moments in this movie. I thought some of it was really, really silly. And I really had a hard time. You know, I'd be like, wait a minute, are they taking this serious or not? I can't tell.
Right.
You know, a couple of the specifics. Did you have anything of the specific scenes that you didn't?
That I didn't. I mean, there was a scene where Jennifer Connelly, she plays Noah's wife.
She was the one actor in the movie that I didn't quite buy. She seemed like a very modern woman.
Yeah. I mean,
even in the little rag clothing that she was
right,
wearing.
Right, they soiled her hands.
She just seemed like she was very, like, she walked in off the stage, was like, hi, we were in, you know, Beautiful Mind together. Let's do this scene. I've got my costume on.
Right.
You know, I just didn't quite...
She was in A Beautiful Mind, wasn't she?
She played his wife.
She sure did.
Yep.
Oh, and now they're transported back in time, and he's having nightmares. Okay. But the scene where she's like, don't kill the babies, was a little over the top for me, and I was just like, what?
Yeah, I really thought after the flood is where the movie suffered.
Yeah.
Because I think that whole thing could have been kind of tied into them getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
You know, that whole story about... her getting, you know, I don't want to ruin the movie for anybody.
Well,
but, you know,
no spoilers. But yeah. I did, going into it, I did wonder what they were going to do after the flood.
Right.
Because the whole buildup before that was the flood. And that's everybody's expectation when we hear Noah. He builds an ark and God floods the world. You know, and so the flood happens, so what happens after?
You know, there's
a ton of movie that they make.
As a filmmaker, I would have done this. Okay, there's like, the movie runs like 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Good Lord.
The flood probably ended, what do you think, 40 minutes before the end of the movie?
Yeah.
I mean, the flood kind of, you know, happened around the time. Like I said, you tie the whole thing in with her pregnancy and the question of her pregnancy and what to do about her pregnancy, because he thinks humanity has to be wiped out.
Right.
And he thinks that includes them.
Yes.
This isn't, oh, hey, no, we're the lucky grand prize winners. We get to ride on the boat and live. No, he thinks they all deserve to die, too.
Right.
And so you could have tied that whole thing in with that rush, especially when those guys are raiding the boat. You know, that whole, like, last few weeks of that building that ark. Tie that whole thing in there. Is he even going to let her on the boat at this point? You know, with something like that. And then you kind of, you know, can carry out whether or not they survive the initial... Mm-hmm. You know, storm, and then bam, you end it with that story he tells. Let me tell you the story. And he, you know, and then because it ends with that perfect, and then like that, life begins again. Bam, you end it right there.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been more. And I thought about that during the movie.
I thought that was going
to
be the end.
Yeah, I was like, this is carrying on too long. And he told that story. I was like, and then it kind of goes dark for a second. I was like, oh, that's. Oh. And then it kind of came back on. I was like, no, that was where you ended.
And the huge. The thing, I was so distracted. So the bad guy chisels his way onto the ark.
Yeah.
Why was it not flooded after that?
I don't know.
It was just like, huh?
Yeah.
Because I expect, anyways. So, and then there's this kind of undertone of vegetarianism. You know, it's like meat eaters are evil. I mean, I was like, what?
Yeah, there was, some weirdness. Yeah, just kind of messages that seem to throw in there. You're like, I don't like when movies are preachy.
Yeah. All. And it was pretty like, I was, you know, because I was a vegetarian for about 9 years once upon a time. And so I get it. But it was just like, meat eaters are going to hell. Like, for real. So that was Noah.
All right. So, yeah, and I guess if you like these epic kind of movies and you want to see something kind of epic right now, go see it. But if you're going to be, I don't know, hoity-toity religious and get upset, don't go see it because there's rock monsters, dude, and they're like, and
weird.
You know, there's an explanation, and the explanation's kind of cool. But then it's just like the way it's carried out and that they are these big rock monsters. Yeah. It seems silly.
It's very silly. Like, literally, I was like, that's Omegatron.
They do very much kind of lumber around, you know, like some of the Transformers.
I was waiting for them to transform and roll
on
out.
Part of the Earth.
I'm not playing. So. It really was just like...
yeah. So, all right. Next up, let's talk briefly about these. You know, we talked about Divergent was number one. At the
all right, the big debate.
There's these teen doom and gloom, and maybe that's a better term for it. I call them. They're not all post-apocalyptic, but they're all doom and gloom.
Yeah.
Okay, these teen doom and gloom novels that are being adapted into movies. You know, kind of Harry Potter. You can throw that in there.
Yeah.
The Twilight series, Divergent now. Hunger Games, City of Bones, is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And then there was another one, Immortals.
That's the same.
Same thing?
Mm-hmm.
There was another one, too, last year.
I don't remember.
See, but that's what I'm saying. There's so many of them. I can't even keep them straight. Now, Divergent, I kind of enjoyed, even though...
Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2 was pretty awesome. You saw it. You enjoyed it.
You know, I did enjoy seeing it in the theater with all those fans. That did make it. And sitting there with you, that was entertaining. I think those movies are, I mean, they're crap. But they're not made for me. And that's kind of the thing about these movies. Oh, the author does throw in that vampires like to play baseball. That was for the boys. Which I was like, when I saw the person, I was like, oh, is that in there? So the guys, well, I don't have anything to watch here. Look, honey, they play baseball. Oh.
They do play baseball in the book.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's like the author even threw that in there. Here's something for the guys.
Oh.
Like baseball.
So sweet.
Yeah, whatever. So anyway, so my question is, are these movies, is it worth turning all these, you know, we've talked about remakes and reboots and how everything gets turned into a movie. Is it worth it to make every one of these damn series into a movie series? Are they all going to work? Is it worth it if they aren't sure if they're going to work? Like Harry Potter, when they started those movies, they knew they were making all of them. Are they going to make all these City of Bones movies?
Intended to. I know that they were saying Sigourney Weaver was attached to the sequel. And I said, don't do it. You come from Hollywood pedigree, you're Ghostbusters, you're, you know, working girl, don't do this crap series.
Yeah, well, you know, and like that's the same with Kate Winslet in
Divergent.
I actually thought she was kind of the weak link of that movie.
Did you?
Because she was I mean, the character.
I was surprised to see her in it.
She was very uptight, hoity-toity.
I was surprised to see Ashley Judd and what's his name? Tom Golan? Tim? What is
Tony.
It? Tony.
Tony Golan. Yeah.
Yeah.
There were some good...
Yeah.
You know, Ashley Judd's not always, you know, in great movies, but
She's not always in great movies, but I think she's a pretty phenomenal actor. I love
being a Kentucky fan might be the only points I have against her, but as a Jayhawk fan. But you know.
Okay.
But it had a good cast, and I kind of liked Shailene Woodley in it. You know, I wasn't really sure what to think of her. You know, she got kicked out of The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, did she?
She was supposed to play Mary Jane Watson in this, and her scenes got cut, and they're like, we're just holding her character back for the next movie, but I think her character's getting recast. But she's also not Mary Jane. I mean, Mary Jane in the comics is red hair. She's supposed to be, like, the crazy, I mean, just hot model, you know, because, like, Gwen Stacy in Spider-Man's life is kind of like...
Now, Mary Jane, that's the one that Bryce Dallas Howard played.
No, she was played by the other...
The in the new ones.
No.
Emma Stone?
That's Gwen Stacy.
That's Gwen Stacy?
Mary Jane was... Who's the other girl from the other movies? The redhead.
No. She was blonde.
No. Mary Jane's redhead.
You're not talking about the girl from Jumanji.
Yes.
The one from Interview with the Vampire. She was blonde.
She's redhead in Spider-Man, though. She's a blonde in real life. Sure, but in Spider-Man,
She had red hair?
Yes. That's the thing with Mary Jane. She's red. But anyway, that's supposed to be her, the actress.
He has a thing for redheads, then. Spider-Man?
Right.
Is that something?
So anyway, she was supposed to play Mary Jane. So I wasn't sure going into this whether or not, you know, because it's kind of an action role. You know,
I thought Mary Jane was dead.
Do we want to talk Spider-Man?
Sorry.
Because if you want to talk Spider-Man, I will talk Spider-Man all fucking day. Spider-Man's my boy.
He's your boy.
No, but...
Well, you know.
No. In the comics, Gwen Stacy dies.
Oh, Gwen Stacy.
And it leads to his relationship with Mary Jane. In the other Spider-Man movies, they started off with Mary Jane.
Right.
Led to Gwen Stacy.
Right.
So in the new ones, they started with Gwen Stacy.
Right.
And they're leading Mary Jane.
Ah.
Okay. And so she was cast, and they just kind of were like, never mind, she's not in it.
Well.
And, you know, but I thought she was good in Divergent.
Yeah.
We talked right before the show. I kind of liked her better than I liked Jennifer Garner in The Hunger Games. And I know you don't like Jennifer Garner so much.
No. Jennifer.
Not Garner. Jennifer Garner.
Yeah,
Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence from The Hunger Games. So, and my problem with her in those movies is she's so emotionless.
So emotionless.
Emotionless. I mean, just... And everybody's like, well, Tim, you know, they're living in those hard times. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? For me, as I'm watching a movie, seeing people that are living in horrible times and still find a way to find happiness in life would drive, like, the capital even crazier.
Right.
So it's like, this movie, there's a lot of bad crap that's going on, Divergent, but she still finds a way every now and then to find a time to smile.
Yeah.
And show an emotion other than... You know.
Well, but the thing about it is, it's postmodern, but it's not like apocalyptic. I mean, they have a great society here. It's the only thing that they're cut off from the rest of the world. There's something beyond the gates, and they don't know what it is. But within Chicago, within the gates, they have their five factions, and they work together in harmony, and the whole thing is about peace, and they know who they are. And then if you decide at this point in your life that this is not who you are, you can choose something else. Now, it's a little weird to choose and be like, your choice is permanent. Otherwise, we're going to kill
you. Yeah, there's a huge thing. What I thought was weird is, like, it's all about free choice, yet they don't want anybody to have free choice. And I will say, I was disappointed on what a fucking Divergent was. Because I thought from the trailers, I thought all these people were going to, like, start manifesting stuff out of their, you know, kind of like Inception, Matrix type.
Right.
I thought there was something special about the Divergent.
Yeah,
it's just that she's, like, brave and smart and...
Right. Well, I mean,
kind,
but
I was like,
but it's
she has three traits that makes her.
Well,
that bothered me.
It's not just that; it's that they threaten the harmony of the society.
That, I mean,
because the thing is, it's backwards. Because in this society, the peace comes from division.
Right.
You know, and
learning your, knowing your place.
Knowing your place and all those things. And then the people who are seen as a threat are the people who have more positive qualities, because they were all positive qualities. Yeah. Bravery, honesty, kindness, you know, governing, you know what I mean? You know,
he had those five tattoos on his back because he was like, I want to have all of these traits. And I was like, ugh. But yeah. There were so many eye rolling moments for me, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, there were little things I did
say that in my review for examiner.com, that people will ask, much like the, you know, what is the Matrix? What is Divergent? But then when you get there, it's
next
like...
Next one's called, like, Insurgent or something.
He was like, oh, that's what a Divergent is?
That's all it was for me. I was expecting her to be able to, like, do some shit.
Yeah, do some shit.
Like,
yeah.
You know, there was always the thing with her breaking, they're like, how did you do that?
Yeah, yeah, because Neo...
Right, and I just kind of expected her, you know, and there's, like, all in the commercials, there's all those shots of them, like, they show the shots of them jumping around.
Right.
But they show them, like, in slow motion. Make exactly. It look like it's more...
Right, more than... It's superhuman.
So that's kind of where I was like, I'm watching, I'm like, ooh, we get to find out what she is. Oh, she just is kind. Okay.
Yeah.
And brave. Good
right.
for her.
She would feed the dog and pet it
so,
and kill it. I mean, you know, it's
so,
like, okay.
Did you read any of these books, though? I mean, you read...
No, my daughter has read all of the books, which is why I was at the screening. Maybe 2 weeks before our screening.
And how did they like it?
Well, one of them has not read the books, but she can't wait. But they won't let her check them out at school because they're above her grade level.
I hate that rule.
Yeah, I hate that fucking rule.
Oh, dude. Yeah, my son reads...
Yeah.
2 grades. And then I'm like, you can't tell him he can't read these
yeah.
books.
Yeah. Who the fuck are you to tell a kid they can't read?
Please.
It's
just,
not porn.
You need to stay at everybody else's level, okay?
Yeah. You know, it's just
that's
like,
what,
ugh. You know, and then they wonder why, you know, kids, why we're moving toward idiocracy. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
So, all right. So what do you think? These movies, they're worth it. You think they should keep chugging them out? Because they're going to reboot Twilight eventually, probably sooner than we want. Because before they did these versions, there was somebody that had a different take on them. And they're like, no, we can't do it. And they went ahead with what they did. But so they'll just take this other
well,
take
on I mean,
it.
Here's the thing. I think the more general question, should we be adapting novels into films? I think yes. I mean, that's a good thing. But I think we need to have novels written by someone other than a YA author. With mass appeal. I mean, it's been a long time since we've had an Interview with the Vampire, which was very adult.
Right.
It was very intellectual. It was very sensual. You know, and we could argue some of those things about Twilight, you know, but the feel of it was completely different. And it's been a long time since we've had an adult who has written material that appeals to so many. Where it's a mass appeal and not like a cult appeal, you know?
Right.
So.
Well, yeah. And, you know, one thing I think that came out of this is I saw this with my daughter, and I took her because, you know, Bad Words was screening the same night, which I was going to go see. That's what I wanted to
That's
see.
That's what I wanted to see.
Right. So... But, you know, you had said you were taking your daughter, and I, you know, so I asked my daughter, who's 11, I was like, you know, you read these? Your friends read them? She goes, I haven't, but, you know, her best friend does.
Right.
And so, you know, I was like, well, I'll take her to see it. Because, you
sure.
know, and you know what? After the movie, she's like, now I want to read the books.
Nice.
And so that's one thing about adapting these things that I think can come out of it, is if parents take their kids to these movies and encourage them to read. This
yeah.
is based on a book. You should read the book.
Yeah.
You know, my son's read all the Harry Potter books, you know.
Right.
The Hunger Games books. He's read them. I haven't. So, you know, that's one thing I hope that comes out of that is...
Yeah, that's encouraging teens to read.
Right. So let's transition now to... I want to talk some TV before
let's
we
talk
go
TV.
Today. Okay. Here in a couple weeks, we're going to have... A buddy of mine, he writes for the Examiner out of Topeka.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big nerd like me. You know, he's going to come down, talk a little TV with us, and we're going to kind of get you started. You know, and you know, might come down every now and then. Might be a one-time deal. We'll see. He's a nice guy, though. He reviews movies. He's done radio in Topeka. So we'll talk about things like Walking Dead, 24, which I want to talk about real quick. And we can talk about adapting more stuff, because now movies are becoming TV shows.
Yeah.
So it's not just everything going to movies. Movies are, it's all kind of, everything's like synergized.
Yeah.
You know, comic books being turned into books, being turned into movies, being turned into TV shows that get turned into books, that get turned into comic books.
That's right.
You look at Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Comic book, movie, TV show, and now they're trying to get it back to, they're like, hey, Joss, make another Buffy. He's like, you know what? You guys thought it sucked the last
right.
one, you know? So I love how Joss Whedon kind
of... But guess what? We didn't.
Keeps everybody at bay. So, all right. You don't watch The Walking Dead. It's coming to an end this weekend for the season.
Oh, for the season.
Do you watch Walking Dead? I know we've asked that before. Are you caught up? Did you like last episode? Are you down with... Have you read any of the books?
I've read some of the comics.
Yeah.
But...
I'm kind of liking where it's at right now. I really, and I'll keep this as spoiler free from you as possible.
You know what?
I know you don't like zombie stuff.
You can spoil everything. If the zombie gets the puppy, I don't care. Tell me everything because I will not watch this show.
I do like that they've gotten away from the prison finally. I thought the prison went on way too long. And I kind of like where they're getting set up. I kind of think they're getting ready to meet the cannibals. Did you get that to that part in the book?
They're cannibals?
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know, zombie apocalypse, dude. You got to...
Eat what you can eat.
Eat what you can.
That's
yeah.
so sick.
Everybody else is eating stuff. You might as well eat. So,
are there no
all of our heroes
possums?
Are split up, and they're all coming to a, you know, where they should hopefully be meeting back up at a place. But is this place going to be safe, or is it going to be...
crawling
another
with,
bad place.
Yeah.
Well, there's other survivors, but on the show, it's kind of like even, you know, other people have become greater enemies than
the zombies themselves.
Because everybody freaks out, you know, and kind of goes into, you know, Lord of the Flies
sure.
mode. So Walking Dead for me has had some up and down seasons. I didn't really like last season at all. I mean, it actually had some of the best episodes individually, but as a season, I thought it was just very...
up and down.
Yeah. So, in this season, I think it's gotten better, you know. It's reflecting a lot of the books right now, which I like. Having read quite a few of them, you know, I don't mind when shows or TV movies, you know, do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like when they take characters like they have some of the characters on the show that are so different in the book. You know, I don't know. I don't know why you changed too much. You know what I'm talking about, though?
I don't.
No. You know about adaptation. I mean, even if you don't know about, The Walking Dead so much. And, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about, we'll get away from Walking Dead here for a second. Now, Walking Dead doesn't suffer from this problem, but do you guys watch Community?
No.
Okay, sitcom. It's on Thursday nights now. But... it's a sitcom on NBC that's kind of what a lot of shows have is a time slot identity crisis.
Sure.
You know, when they move these shows around, it's on Tuesday nights now. In 6 months, it's on Thursday nights. Now it's on Friday nights. And, it, you know, then they're like, man, this show isn't getting any ratings.
Well, because we can't find it.
You know, and a lot of shows have suffered because of that. You know, you think back to Firefly.
Yeah.
Which, A... when he made that show, they aired, like, I think only 4 episodes, and they aired them out of order.
What?
It was like he gave them the pilot, they're like, we don't like this episode, what else do you have? And it was kind of like, they're like, they aired, like, the third one, their second one, and then one from later, and then, I didn't watch the show when it was on TV.
Yeah.
I caught it on DVD.
Yeah.
So I never really went through that whole thing watching it, but yeah, it says air date, you know, in the little DVD list, and I don't understand why networks put so much money into a show,
mm-hmm.
marketing it, you know, go ahead and make these 10 episodes, and then they're like, we're going to screw around with it, you know? So you have good shows like Arrested Development went through that.
Sure.
One of the best written shows in a long time. Fox, and it's a lot of Fox. Fox does it all the time. God, they suck.
God, they suck. Okay.
So, you know, they move stuff around, and then they don't ever know why, and then they cancel their show.
Yeah.
You know, CBS, a lot of their shows are the exact same show, but you know what they do is they give their shows time to find an audience.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes people watching all the shows that get all the hype realizing they're not good, so they find something else. So mm-hmm. you got to give these good, these shows, it's time to find an audience. And I don't think it's happening enough.
I mean, for me, again, my problem is I have changed the way that I view episodic material.
Yeah.
Because I watch on Hulu and Netflix, and so I may not stay up to speed with Scandal because I'm going to binge watch
right.
the season when it's on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm getting real big into binge watching. I'm watching more Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah. I mean, now I do, like, say, Supernatural. I stay up to speed on Supernatural.
Okay.
I stopped watching Vampire Diaries once Atlanta became a vampire. I was like, spoiler alert. I was like, man, F this show.
Spoiler alert, it's on CW.
It's on CW.
That's the only spoiler alert I need.
So there are some shows that I still tune in because I look forward to it during my week.
Sure.
But most of the stuff, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine,
I've started watching that on Hulu, and there's episodes I laugh at.
Exactly.
And then there are episodes where I'm like, this is just stupid. But I can't, I don't know.
It's silly.
But I am getting more into that. We caught up on Breaking Bad that way. Right before the finale, my wife and I binge-watched the hell out of that show.
Yeah.
Did the same with Doctor Who. We're pretty much caught up on the 7 seasons. You started watching it?
I have.
Did you start with Christopher Eccleston?
Actually, I started with whatever they have on Netflix, and it's an episode. I'll tell you
that. Dude, shaved head, doctor?
I don't think his head was shaved. It's it was a girl named Rose.
Okay, yep.
And she goes down into the basement of a department store.
Right.
And
so there you go. That's the first episode of the reboot.
Of the
was
reboot.
That the mannequins?
Yes.
Yeah.
Some scary shit.
Yeah.
I will say,
get through those first four. Those first four are kind of, that was when the show was kind of getting back and finding its footing. So for some of those, they're silly. It's British.
Yeah.
It is the British humor. But, man, it really gets into some really well-written
stuff. Okay, because
really
I was
does.
Like, so I'm watching it, and I'm like, is that a British accent? I mean, and when it was coming on, it was like BBC, and I saw that it said series one instead of episode one.
It is British TV.
It is British TV, but I still was just kind of taken aback by her accent. I'm like, I gotta listen
to
this.
She becomes one of the, the doctors known for having his companions. Rose was, as far as these newer ones, I think still one of the best of his companions.
Oh.
Now, the best doctor, in my opinion, was the 10th doctor. And we'll get into the numbers of them later on. But that was David Tennant, who's the guy after
the guy that I'm looking at now.
Right.
And so, I'm gonna get up to speed on Doctor Who.
Watch it.
I'm going to do it. And
there's some great villains. There's some great stories. It gets silly. It's silly, serious, weird.
Because the plastic blob monster, I was like, this is not a good villain.
It's weird. They start bringing in, a lot of the old ones from the old shows, like the Daleks, which are great even in their 60s sci-fi. I mean, because that's kind of the cool thing about the show is it still keeps that kind of old cheesy sci-fi look.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it has, new stuff. So, my kids, my God, they're freaking obsessed with this. It's crazy. They just sit around. My son builds little custom Lego sets.
Nice.
And robots and all the little characters. He makes them all out of Lego. So
that is pretty cool. I mean, I look forward to, because I like to get hooked on a good show.
Sure.
I love that because then I can my kids are like, I need dinner. And I'm like, I'm watching TV,
This is one that I put off for a long time. And it just kind of became they had the 50. The show's been on for 50 years.
Yeah.
So, there's been getting ready to go into the 12th different doctor. Okay. And so it had the special like last year, the 50-year special. And people were like, so what'd you think of it? And I was like, I didn't watch it. And I don't watch that show. And they're just like, no. What'd you think of it?
Right.
And I'm like, no, I'm serious. I don't watch Doctor Who. And they're like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
Now I watch them like, I can't believe I wasn't watching it before.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to start watching Breaking Bad too.
Right. Watch Breaking Bad. Excellent.
Everybody
says
watch it.
Breaking Bad is you never know where those characters are, because you think, oh, well, typical storylines, typical drama, rise and
remember when Breaking Bad was first coming out, and I thought, do I really want to spend time with this teacher who becomes a mess?
He's fabulous.
He's fabulous? Okay, because I purposefully didn't watch it when it first came out, but then it's a sensation, and I'm like, ugh.
He becomes a son of a bitch, but you still love his character.
Really?
And you're just always like hoping he does the right thing, but he
doesn't.
He does, he doesn't, he does, but he never does what you think he's going to do, when you think he's going to do it. It's
amazing.
Very well written, because it takes you all over the place, and it's not predictable.
All right, I will get on board, and I will be honest, about my opinion once. So I'm going to watch The Game, and you're going to watch Fast Forward.
Oh. I'll have to see if it's on Netflix, but I'll watch it fine.
It probably
I have
is.
Enough time.
You watch it too, Josh.
So, all right, so let's wrap up for today.
Yes, we're done.
Okay. Again, special shout out to Elite Comics.
Elite Comics.
Everything they did for us last week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you today to Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
And we hope Josh is feeling better. So,
yay.
Feeling better, Josh?
Yeah.
Good. It's a crappy time, man. Weather's up and down. Everybody's getting sick. So that's going to do it for the Tim and Lo Show. Hey, check it out. I'm going to put a link up on our Facebook page and our Twitter. You guys can go and get tickets to see
A Haunted House 2.
If you're here in Kansas City, we've got 10 sets of 2 passes.
Fantastic.
So 20 tickets to see Haunted House.
On April 17th.
Yeah. Go see it. Find us.
Where's it going to be? AMC Barry Woods again?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then April 25th. I mean, this has nothing to do with that, but Sean and Marlon will be back here at the Improv.
Yeah,
and we didn't talk about some other stuff. So next week, we'll have to definitely get into some KC Film Fest, some local stuff. Found Wandering Lost is one project that I'm hearing a lot of buzz about now.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about those things on our next episode.
All right. Until then, the Tim and Lo Show on Twitter. Tim and Lo Show. Or Facebook.com/Tim and Lo on Facebook. Follow us. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. Until then, see ya.
Peace.
Wouldn't want to be ya.